right, settle down. I'm not in the mood for your crap.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Prime Social Club, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to the show. One in the books, two to go. It's The Usual Suspects on an FYF Friday right here on ESPN 97.5. Cody is doing some moving and shaking, getting into a little AC/DC as we bump back in hour number two. Nick back at the station. We are live from Prime Social. You should be here, too. If you are struggling through the work week and want a place to unwind before you head home for the weekend, why don't you head to Prime Social? Great poker, unbelievable atmosphere, good food, good beverage, and a very clean, safe environment. You can stop by and get into a tournament, get into a play some hands of poker, and really get in with some good guys doing what you're doing and enjoying what they do when they play poker. 7801 Westheimer. Stop on by and get in here because it's a good spot. If you're going to play poker, this is the place to be. Lance Zierlein is out there playing. AJ Hoffman is out there playing. Got guys from our staff that love it here as well. So that shows you, if nothing else, if they're here, you should be here too.
Oh, no doubt. This place is first class.
Yeah, very, very cool.
I got a buddy who's in on, like the underground scene, like, back in the day. And then he was up on the ground floor of places like this when they started popping up in the state. And he always brags to me about how Houston's got the best one of these. And, hey, we're at one of them.
No doubt about it. All right, with that being said, we've been talking Astros already for most of the first hour of the show because, of course, it's hot on your minds. And after that loss last night, you want to talk about what's next. So with that being said, Thomas is out there, and he wants to talk about the Astros. Thomas, what's up? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, so I was just giving a call in. Obviously, we would have all loved to see them, you know, get another win, but some of the, you know, highlights like y'all were mentioning to, you know, things that were cool to remember is, I think, for one, the Bregman stare down that he started was, you know, something really cool that just showed all the guys having fun together, and you know, it made it more interesting to watch. And then also just how cool those replica rings that they gave out were a lot more realistic than I would have expected.
Hey, at least they didn't do that ring promotion more than one game. I mean, that was...
Dude, what are they going to do for promotion next year?
What happens next year? Do they go back to massive bobbleheads?
More bobbleheads.
Yeah, we can't have 16 ring nights. Wow.
Lots more bobbleheads.
That's crazy.
A Carlos Correa wedding celebration bobblehead.
Oh, it's coming. The other thing that's crazy about that, but they've maximized profit on, is as far as I've ever been in sports, bobbleheads are giveaways. They did these rare limited edition bobbleheads this year that they sold for $100 a piece at the team shop.
Yeah.
People were staying overnight, sleeping on the street in tents, waiting so that they could spend 100 bones on bobbleheads.
I'm not a bobblehead guy. I got a buddy who is, and I don't know that he would go through those links. But hey. You like what you like. You got the disposable income to do it. Man, I'm not going to judge anybody how they spend their money.
No doubt about it. But I know people as well. Nick does too. That are bobblehead fanatics. It's one thing that's unrealistic to think I'm going to spend $100 just to get the bobblehead. But then to like stay overnight and deal with the elements and the street and everything like just to make sure I get one. No, I'm good.
We really got to help them with this promotion because they can't do ring night.
Yeah, what are they going to do?
What do you? I mean, they would. How many? I'm not asking to be funny. They did it four times, right?
I think it was more than that.
They did
remember
four,
the final
five times
as kind of like fan appreciation night for the last weekend.
They
did it
again. Yeah.
If everybody in the city that wanted one didn't get one, something happened. Something's wrong.
So it can't be bobbleheads because they already do like bobbleheads.
Right.
Like, what could it be? Like what would get people like? Oh, I gotta go to the Astros game tonight, even though they're playing the Rays in the middle of July.
First aid kit because it fixes knees, backs, arms, and anything that ails you. I don't know.
Little Astros Band-Aids in it.
Analytics kit so you can understand the numbers so that you know why the Astros are doing what they're doing with the shift.
Your own outfield alignment chart for your back
the
pocket.
The little back pocket laminated cards.
Yes, for the opponent.
Laminated card night so you know you can yell down that Springer's in the wrong position for a right-handed batter hitting a left-handed pitcher in the first inning. I mean, if you guys got suggestions on that too, because some of the suggestions are coming in on how you would remember this season as well. But yeah, that's good stuff.
I have a question for you that I think is a potential baseball like windfall for these teams.
Yeah.
And would get people so interested in baseball that they would be shocked at how interested they would be. I have an idea. Can I run it past you?
Yes, absolutely.
It's kind of half baked, but I think I've got this kind of rounded out here.
Okay, go.
What about an app? Like in the Astros, you know, team app or whatever, but it works at Minute Maid Park. What about an app that you keep a box score on your phone, and at the end of the night, your box score gets submitted, and whoever has the perfect box score, you know, you filled it out right, like you knew all the rules,
right.
You know, stuff like that, gets entered in a raffle and you win something the night, like a lunch with a player.
Well, Palillo would win every night, and that wouldn't be fun because Charlie's one of those guys that I see the notes. I know he keeps a box score for every game. Charlie and front row Amy from the Brewers would be battling for best scorecard.
You got like a but like everybody who gets it right, like, you know, if the pickle was run and you got it, you know, 2-6 to 4 to,
is that porn? You know, if the pickle's run?
No.
Oh, I'm just checking.
But I think, like, if you know, because what do people do at the game if they're only like kind of interested? They pull their phone out. They wave and woo.
I mean,
but they, you know, they pull their phone out. You know, checking Twitter and this, like. But if you kept a score on your phone, and at the end of the night, if you had the right scorecard, and you got entered into a raffle, and the winner wins lunch with Correa, or, you know, lunch with Tyler White or something one day, I think people would watch baseball. They'd learn it. They'd understand it. They'd pick up the rules. Like, they'd have to know, you know, F2 when they pop out to the catcher, stuff like that. Like, I think, you know, just a half-baked idea.
Don't make sure that the Tyler White lunch isn't on a playground because there wouldn't be any swings. Oh, now I'm that fan that reverts to Game 7 against the Warriors, Trevor Ariza guy. I mean, now I'm going to criticize, Tyler White for one at bat instead of his entire season.
You know, this is six strikeouts.
It's going to happen, people.
Postseason appearances.
The great White is going to take his share in the offseason because of that. I just have a feeling.
Dude.
A couple of questions here on the text line. Are there any big-name free agents a possibility for the Stros? Harper, Corbin, Britton. I mean, Britton, if he takes a little less, is a possibility. Corbin's supposed to be high on the Yankees, as is Bryce Harper. So we'll see how that goes. Someone else asked or said that they're going to remember this season as being Bregman's coming out party. So there's that. So, you know, there's a lot of different things. How are you going to characterize what you saw in this season for your Houston Astros? It's something to kick around as we go forward with that. Have you figured out your giveaway yet? No,
I haven't.
Are you going to wait for the peeps?
Yeah. Let's get the peeps in on what do you replace ring night with?
Discount ticket night? Because basically that's all they're doing is you're trying to get your butts in the seats. I mean.
I thought about it when they announced that second ring night. I was looking at the secondhand ticket services, and I was like, I could scoop up about 50 tickets real quick and turn those things around.
If you sold those things on the internet, there were people after every game, and no matter how many extra ring nights they added, people were paying cash at a pretty top dollar to get one of those replica rings.
I should have.
There's more rings in this city because of that championship that they exhausted than the rings in any bathroom in any dorm on any college campus. I mean, seriously, there's just – it's ridiculous how many times they did ring nights. They're going to have to – their marketing department's actually going to have to work next year.
Do you think they made 500,000 rings?
Oh, yeah, easy.
Easy?
Easy. Without
question. 500,000 rings?
And they exhausted it. So, all right, we've talked enough about the Astros. If you guys still want to get in here, we'll still leave it up to you. 713-780-3776. You can call or you can text. Also got other things to talk about, including your Houston Texans with a big divisional game on the road against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville scuffling a little bit right now. Their offense doesn't look good. Jalen Ramsey is quiet, which is ridiculous because of the fact that he's so boisterously outspoken when he thinks that his team's going to steamroll you. But his press conference yesterday was more of the one- and two-word answers and trying to act coy when it's like, you know what, bro? If you got plenty to say and diarrhea of the mouth when you're winning, you got to suck it up and talk when you're losing, too.
He's a front runner, man. If it's going good, he's ready to talk that mess.
I mean, so, as much as he wanted to criticize Tyreek Hill, I guarantee he's not going to criticize DeAndre Hopkins.
Look, you want to feel that way right after the loss. You want to talk about it like that. That's fine. But later in the week, once you get to that point, nah, come on, man. You know, why don't you bring in a little bit? And Hopkins owns him. Like, I get that the numbers haven't been amazing. You're talking about big-time plays. A couple years ago, they needed a third down conversion. Hopkins just ran a little easy slant on him. First down, game over, wrapped it up. Like, DeAndre Hopkins has had some success against Jalen Ramsey. And, oh, by the way, you look at that Jaguars team. It's not last year's Jaguars team.
No, you talk about the Astros being what a difference a year makes. But for as far as they went and how much anticipation there was in this year's season for Jacksonville, Bortles is bortling.
We knew that was happening.
And that makes everything start to teeter. But the fact of the matter is, in that locker room, there's some things going on. Because part of the thing that you're hearing when Jalen Ramsey is saying what he's saying or not saying what he's saying is the fact that he doesn't want to point fingers at anybody else. But he believes that obviously the defense is letting everybody down, including including their teammates. And that's a big issue.
I don't know if that guy's got the skins on the walls to call out some of those guys in that locker room. Like, I mean, yes, one of the best corners in football, maybe the best corner in football. So I get it. I understand. And that comes with some cachet, and you can say a lot and do a lot in that locker room if you're that guy. But, like, Odell Beckham took care of you week one and nobody talked about it. Like you flew under the radar, and some of your failures have flown under the radar so far this year. So, like, as much as he wants to point some fingers, like, you're not shut down Jalen Ramsey. You guys got three interceptions on the season.
You surprised by, and they're boys, so I don't think he's gonna outwardly be verbally abusive to D-Hop like he would be some of the other guys that he's talked about.
I think he knows better.
Well, and I don't know that I'd ever say owns, that Hopkins owns him, but I will say that he's had some success. So you look at the spread, it's still hovering between four and a half and five. That seems low to me. On the road, Jacksonville's got a lot to prove this weekend, but I don't know. I don't know where you're at with that, but that's an interesting spread for me. Speaking of spreads, we'll do some picks later in the show. We'll do some college. We'll do some pro. Barry will get his picks in via the internet to Nick, and we'll convey them to you as we go through. Other than that, we're going to continue to roll on. You can reach the show at 713-780-3776. You can call. You can text. You can hit us up on Twitter. We'll be back with a whole lot more. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. It's an FYF Friday. It is Nicholas Sciarra back at the station keeping us on the air. It is Cody Stutz in for Barry Laminack and myself here at Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer. Stop by and play some poker after work today on your way home. Start the weekend right. This is a clean, safe environment. It is just like the best hotels in Vegas, but there are a lot of people playing a lot of hands of poker, and you can get in on some really good games here and have some fun. We'll be here till 4. Blitz will be here till 7. As we have been talking about the Astros, obviously, for the last hour or so, as everybody kind of picks up the pieces and decides which direction they're going to take when they move on from what was, I feel, and I think Cody feels, a successful season, not a disappointing season, but not the outcome that you wanted at the end of the year. So with that, we kind of turned the page, started talking a little Texans-Jaguars before the break, and now Will wants to get in. He's calling from Spring. He wants to talk about that Jags defense. Will, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I just I feel like there's a little bit of a correlation with what's going on with the Jags defense. You know, you look at the past 2 years, they looked really good last year. But, you know, I think ever since Gus Bradley left that team, that you've obviously seen issues and they're just now starting to come to a head. You know, you look at the Chargers, who Gus Bradley's been with the past 2 years, that defense looks amazing. And they, you know, they're still without Joey Bosa. So I think there's correlation there. I just wanted to see what you guys thought.
So the thing with the Jaguars is last year, this team was a monster. Calais Campbell came over. Pass rush is amazing. Number two in the league in interceptions. Number two in the league in sacks. And they just dominated everybody. And they hid that offense and helped it out so much with those hidden yards with all of the sacks, the interceptions, the short fields, and stuff like that. This year, they're just not getting to the not getting to the quarterback as much. They're 18th in sacks. They're not intercepting the ball. And I was talking to some Jacksonville people and reading about the Jaguars. They've gone away from what made them so good, where it's just man up. Our D linemen are going to go beat your offensive linemen. And when you try to make a play on our DBs, they're just going to intercept the ball. They played a ton of zone this year, which is just not what you do when you got
two lockdown corners.
You got two lockdown corners, and you're going to play a bunch of zone. Like, that's just not the way you need to approach it. And that's what's happened to the Jaguars. That's what's happened to some of this drop-off. And that's how a guy like Dak Prescott, who averages 188 yards a game, can go in there and just dice you up like that and shut up Jalen Ramsey and make him not be this big, bad talker after the game. I think the Jaguars, it's got to be, to me, against this Texans team, they're going to go back to basics. We're going to man you up. We know our D-line can get past your offensive line. We know your guy can run, but we're going to trust that our guys can cover. I mean, their safety play has been bad.
Here's the thing, though, right?
Their corner play has been bad at different times. Like, back
Calais
to basics.
Calais Campbell came over and had a career season. He was everything that they couldn't even thought about dreaming to ask for that first year. But he's fallen back. He's a little older. You know, he's getting long in the tooth. He's not the same player. You mentioned the defensive line. It may be more advertised than good or than great, all right? But you're right. I completely agree. If you got two lockdown corners like that on either side, you got to play to your strength, right? If those guys each go man-to-man, you know, you got extra defenders where you need to have them. And offensively, here's the one thing that people forget that they have to pay attention to, and that is the fact that all season long, as bad as Bortles has been, with the exception of maybe one game, you have to realize their running game has been non-existent because it's been running back by committee and none of them are named Leonard Fournette. If Leonard Fournette is healthy and he can add some balance to the offense by giving you a running game that is borderline dominant as opposed to just serviceable, it's like having Lamar Miller versus having Alfred Blue, but maybe even better than that. But at the same time, look, T.J. Yeldon, doesn't impress. But if you get a running game that can balance what they want to do offensively and the defense isn't on the field as much, it definitely gives the defense a little extra pump.
I would be really interested to know, just like to go inside the offensive play calls for the Jaguars, and I would love to know how many times, because Fournette's not there, they decided to put the ball in Blake Bortles' hands. Like because we don't just have Leonard Fournette to turn and hand it to on 2nd and 6, 2nd and 7, on plays like that.
Or Bill O'Brien, every offensive play that's starting on a first down.
Right.
Just hand it off.
Yeah, right. Like, I would love to know how many times they've put the ball in Bortles' hand, and that's ended up as a bad play, a negative play, or even a turnover for them, because they decided, okay, we don't have Leonard, so let's put it on Blake and see if he can make a play for us, and it just went the total opposite way. He's tied for the league lead in interceptions. He's got 8 interceptions this year, and that is, like, I was thinking to myself, even with Bortles playing as bad as that, like, surely the Jaguars have a pretty good turnover margin. Like, turnover differential, pretty good at telling you if a team's decent or not. And I went to looking, and I got to looking. They're -9 on turnover differential.
Really?
They are not forcing turnovers.
See, and that's the thing that we were getting to yesterday and other times in the show. Barry and I got into it, too. I said, look, this is a team that was supposed to have one of the top three defenses in football.
Yes.
And two of those three teams that were supposed to be up there, the Vikings and the Jaguars, have been just huge disappointments.
Yes. Yeah, and it's and look, I know there's a couple of changes here and there on this Jaguars defense, like, you know, a different linebacker here or there, but, I mean, they've been pretty healthy.
I was going to say, that's the other thing. You can't say, well, they're hurting because they had injuries. Yeah, they really have.
They've been pretty healthy. Like, they got a lot of guys, a lot of guys over there have gotten paid already. So I don't know if the offseason work is what it needed to be. I mean, you point to anything and everything when you see this significant of a drop-off. Now, just because the turnovers are down, the sacks are down, it doesn't mean they're not a good defense. Like, they're still really good in the red zone. They still don't allow a ton of yards to you, so you've got to take advantage of your opportunities when you do get down into the red zone. And obviously, like, terrible matchup for the Texans, who are, like, red zone inefficient to the max, okay? But there's still stuff there with this Jaguars team. And, like, the thing you fear if you're the Texans or any team that's going to play them in the next couple weeks is, like, you fear the get right. Like, you don't want to be the game they get right on defense. And I almost feel like this weekend, if they don't get right against the Texans, who are they going to get right
and this
against?
I'm with you because here's the thing. This is I almost said it was a make or break game for them simply because it's time for them to make a statement so people get off their ass and they prove that they can still get this thing right, straightened out, and do the things that everybody expected of them. But at the same time, you go back to what Sigmund Bloom was talking about just from a fantasy football perspective and everybody that said, I've got Watson versus so-and-so. And he's like, I'm really fearful for Deshaun Watson this week. Because if they and I obviously one of the reasons why he's saying that is at home with all the scrutiny this defense has been facing, if they want to just unleash everything that they got and if they turn it around and we know the beating that he's been taking, this could get ugly.
So I believe it's 70 quarterback hits. 70 quarterback hits leads the league.
And the contacts both lead the league. Every time he's been contacted, whether he was sacked or not.
And then second most sacks in the league with the Texans offense. Like, that's recipe for disaster. And I know the injury report says Deshaun Watson feels fine this week. But I would be shocked if he's not on the injury report the rest of the year. Just, okay, he feels good, but if Glazer's right, and Glazer reported it was a broken rib and a partially collapsed lung after the Cowboys game, like, I get that the injury report says he's healthy. That doesn't mean he's actually 100%. That just means he's healthy enough to play. I would be definitely worried about a team like the Jaguars, who have the talent to get after you, hitting Deshaun Watson, and then, you know, oh my God, we got to see Brandon Weeden for a quarter? Or we got to see Brandon Weeden for a whole game? You're not winning any football games that way.
No.
Because you can't run the football.
And here's the thing. No matter whether you believe that this is just them putting it together to win three in a row or the stars have lined up, they got a little luck. But regardless, they've won three in a row. But the last thing you need to do is put yourself in a situation where you got no shot to win the rest of the season because your franchise quarterback is knocked out.
You're lucky to be in this opportunity to play for first place. Take advantage of it.
Yes.
And don't,
but be
don't
smart about it. Quit running your quarterback like a running back into the heart of the line. Because he's getting his head ripped off and he's getting hurt. And you need him for this year and you need him for a lot of seasons after that. So, all right, we're going to continue to roll on. We're at the midway point of the show. We're going to take a break, step away, come back with the second half and a whole lot more. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, please join us, 713-780-3776.
Big NFL trade.
Big NFL trade coming up on the flip side. Breaking news as we start the second half of the show. Don't go anywhere. It is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Prime Social Club, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go in the big show. It is The Usual Suspects on an FEF Friday from Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer. If you are getting out of work and you want to do something other than head home and you play poker, this is the place you should be. Stop by and get into some of the tournaments they got going on here. They got a lot of things happening. They got Lance and AJ out there playing. Everything is happening right now and will happen all through the weekend. Always your place to escape and play some poker. It is Prime Social. Barry is out in the Rose City of Portland, Oregon, because he is doing some comedy. So with that, Cody Stutes is joining us, and we really appreciate Cody for the second day in a row joining us as hashtag TUS2, The Usual Suspect Show 2.
I'm having
Cody
a lot
Stutes.
Of fun.
Good, man. I am too. It's a good time. Nick is back at the station as well. We'll do some picks later on as we get into more football. I've been told by the executive producer of ESPN Radio sitting in front of me that we should pipe down a little bit. So, you know, the intensity level must be getting high at some of these tables. But you had breaking news that you set up prior to the break coming up. So tell the peeps a trade that may impact what happens in the Texans game this weekend.
This is kind of this is interesting because, you see, the Browns are trading Carlos Hyde, who they signed in the offseason.
Good running back, had some good years with the Niners.
Yeah, they're trading Carlos Hyde to the Jaguars in exchange for a fifth-round pick. So my initial reaction, because I just saw Hyde to Jacksonville, was like, so it's twofold. One, Leonard Fournette's injury must be terrible.
Either terrible or it's going to linger on for more than they thought.
Right, because they have T.J. Yeldon, and then they have Jamal Charles, who they signed. And, you know, Jamal Charles.
If there's anything left in the tank,
there ain't
right?
nothing left there. So they trade for Carlos Hyde. And then I saw the compensation, and it's a fifth-round pick. Joel, would Carlos Hyde be the best running back in the Texans running back room?
Oh, yeah. That's what I said, too. And you and I were talking in the break, and the minute you mentioned that, and I said, and here's the other thing. They're so depleted in the secondary, and there's more coming on that, which we will get to as well.
Yeah.
But why – Breshawn Breeland was an outstanding corner that was signed as a free agent the offseason by Carolina, but he still had a dinged up foot. So Carolina rescinded the offer, and he went away. But he was still out there. Green Bay, of all people, that had their young corners get hurt, went out and signed him just like that. And instead of being happy for my Packers, I was like, why in the world weren't the Texans all over that? Because he can play. And he started a lot of games for the Redskins.
Okay, so you're going to laugh at me, but this is actually something that Rick Smith did a decent job of in his tenure. Was Rick Smith was pretty good about fill out the back end of the roster with a guy that can help you if the starters get hurt. And that's happened a ton throughout the course of his time when he was the general manager of the team. Like he filled out with a guy that can come in and help you right away and, you know, fits the system, is knowledgeable.
Depth chart with potential.
Yeah. I look at this Texans depth chart and I'm like I get that you had, like, they were betting on Kayvon Webster. He plays two snaps, gets hurt. Like, yeah. Okay, like that's a bad deal. Like, I get that. I understand
that's 2.
That.
2. What million for two snaps?
But you knew Kevin Johnson was going to be out for a while. As soon as Aaron Colvin got hurt, like, you knew Colvin's going to be out for a while with his ankle injury. And it doesn't seem like they've done a good job of, you know, the last year of Rick Smith, the first year of Gain, and then not a lot of Bill O'Brien's tenure, but the past couple of years of Bill O'Brien's tenure. That last little bit, the 50 through 53 man on the roster, it doesn't seem like they've done a good enough job with those guys because it's a lot of movement up and down. And look, they've dealt with a ton of injuries, so like maybe it's just been something that they haven't had the opportunity to do because of the injuries, but it just hasn't been to the level that you need it
but
to be.
Doesn't it also behoove you to ask the question of where's the sense of urgency and how much do you really believe that this team, like some of the prognosticators thought, was going to be a Super Bowl caliber team or a very strong playoff contending team? Because a playoff contending team, a Super Bowl contending team, if they had the injuries in the secondary the Texans had, they'd be bringing guys in left and right, and they'd be kicking the tires on anybody that had any kind of success in the league in the past. And it just seems like Brian Gain and his staff are just like, ho hum. We'll just fill up with the, you know, back of the end guys that or and practice squad players. I don't get it.
And like look like, and they brought Sharice Wright in after the season started. I like Sharice. He's played okay, but Sharice Wright's out again, and there's not another corner on the right. Like Kareem Jackson's gonna have to play corner now.
Yep.
Jonathan Joseph's your other corner, and because Colvin's out, Sharice Wright's
Johnson's
out. Kayvon Webster's out. Kevin Johnson's out. So, I mean, is Mike Tyson, who was on the practice squad, who's on the active roster now, is he going to play? Is it going to be like a guy like A.J. Moore who's on the active roster?
Best punches that's I ever thrown with at the line of scrimmage. I'm going to pick off the path of – no, seriously. Like, again, we're talking about names that are just off the – I was going to say a word I can't say, but the crap shelf. Instead of talking about people that have some experience, have a resume – that seemed like a guy that even for a short-term fix could step in and do some good for you.
And, like, if you believe in these guys and they come out here and they play, like, okay, I'll eat the crow. But Natrell Jamerson, he's the guy that didn't cover the gunner.
Yep.
And the Titans threw that
fake punt.
The fake punt touchdown. Like,
but, Cody, here's the other thing. Look at the running game. Tell me, we know Lamar Miller, whether he was dinged up or whatever the reasons you're going to excuse
he's not
that,
make,
he's not the old Lamar Miller.
He's not Miami Lamar
right?
Miller.
And because we don't know, Foreman's he's available to be called on, but they said he's not ready yet, and it might be a while. And if you knew that, and you know that, we know exactly what Alfred Blue is.
Fifth-round pick?
We know Blue is a special teams guy that can get you 2 yards a carry. So why don't you go out and make a move like this? You're right, a fifth-round pick, the way they find a way to crap the bed on every draft pick anyway, not in the first round, you might as well go take a flyer on a fifth round and get a guy that can run the football.
I just saw that compensation, and I'm thinking, man, you got to look at this. And you're the Browns, and I look at this and say, okay, fifth-round picks, not every fifth-round pick's created equal, because the potential for the Texans' fifth-round pick is, you know, really early in the fifth round. Whereas the potential for the Jaguars' fifth-round pick is probably late in the fifth round.
Right.
And so it's like I save about, you know, 15 spots or so if the Texans call me. And that's where I wonder if Brian Gain, who's not on all these committees with these other general managers, who's not been a long-term general manager in this league, if he doesn't have those relationships. I mean, Rick Smith got the Deshaun Watson thing and getting Brock Osweiler off this team because he had a relationship with the Browns organization. I don't know that Gain has any of the, I mean, he was in Houston, he was in Buffalo for 1 year, okay, and then he's back here in Houston. I don't know if Gain has these, and look, young general manager, so I get it, but that this screams of, I mean, Coughlin's been around the NFL for freaking ever, and so is Dorsey, the guy that's calling the
John
shots
Dorsey, yep.
Over there in Cleveland.
Hey, buddy boy.
And, oh, my God.
Hey, buddy boy.
I could not work for him. The gum chewing?
He seems like a really good dude, but yeah, the gum chewing is excessive.
I couldn't do it. I could not do it. It just, I saw the fifth-round pick, and I was just like, and my question to you is Hyde going to play? I'm telling you,
here's the thing. You don't have to worry about him being in shape because he's already been ready for Cleveland all season long. So it's just like you and I are talking in the break. If he can at least grasp some portions of the playbook to know assignments on picking up from a blocking standpoint, scheme standpoint, and, you know, a couple different plays they run from, I think he'll see some time.
Fifth-round pick, man. I know Bill O'Brien likes to use guys in different situations. How about Carlos Hyde that could be in pretty much any situation you need him to be in?
No doubt about
it.
Man,
that's a bummer. That's a bummer.
So we're going to continue to roll on. If you want to talk some Texans leading up to the Jaguars game, look, Clarence, KJ, hang tight. We're going to get you. We're just trying to get to taking care of some other business, get that breaking news out of the way as we start the second half of the show. So as we pick up with the next segment, you guys will be on deck, and you guys can be too if you're listening on a Friday. 713-780-3776. You can call. You can text. You can also hit us up on Twitter. Back with more. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Jump up and get down. Jump.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. It's an FYF Friday as we roll into your weekend. We are at Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer. If you want to have some fun and play some poker on your way home before you start your weekend, stop on by. Great spot, unbelievably clean, great atmosphere, lots of good food and drink, and lots of great poker being played. Come on in, get signed up, and get yourself in on some poker before the weekend starts. And you can play all weekend long, and they're open late. So lots of opportunities to play. We were talking before the break about a trade that just went down in the NFL and why the hell the Texans weren't in on it. Carlos Hyde, a really good running back that was signed as a free agent in the offseason via the 49ers, went to the Browns. Obviously, with Nick Chubb in their backfield, they have a crowded house. They had an expendable running back, and Brian Gain evidently wasn't involved in the mix because Carlos Hyde is now a member of the team that the Texans are playing this weekend, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Deal gets done, gets official today. I mean, I really don't see any reason why they couldn't get him in there for a few snaps.
I'm telling you, he's going
to
play.
At least just to, you know, ease the workload that T.J. Yeldon would have. This is kind of a weird. Cleveland's operating on a whole different level than they used to. I mean, we know that because they got
football people in there.
Yeah, yeah. This is the same guy who signed Carlos Hyde and drafted Nick Chubb, and now here in the middle of the season, okay, the guy I signed, he's out of here. Chubb's, you know, a couple weeks removed from a really big game. I wonder if this is a Hugh thing. Like, Hugh wasn't playing the right guy, so now Hugh don't even get to play that guy.
Well, and here's the thing, too, right? And I said this to Barry throughout the process, even with Hard Knocks, watching the Browns. It's very, very weird that you hire an entire new football operations staff and general manager, and they don't get to pick and have a say-so in the coaching. So, essentially, Hugh Jackson was a carryover. You hired Dorsey as the new GM. He hires a whole new football operations staff, and you have a new offensive coordinator in Todd Haley. You obviously have a very volatile defensive coordinator in Greg
Williams. Yeah.
So you look at all those things, and even watching Hard Knocks, it just seemed like from both coordinators to the football operations staff, it was like, Hugh, you may be one and done. Your days are numbered. Because if you don't press the right buttons, and also if this team doesn't at least start showing signs of making progress, and some of the people thought the progress, just like the Texans making the Super Bowl, a lot of people thought the Browns were a playoff team. So there's something to be said there, too, about the fact that, hey, you are not long for this job, Hugh Jackson, if you don't kind of follow the plan that we've got. And because you are the head coach, because in Hard Knocks he made the statement of, hey, fellas, you know what, you can your input, you can throw your input, but it's my decision, and I'm sorry, but I'm going to make it. Well, it's your bed, and you're going to lie in it, too.
Do you love NFL trades? Because
I love all trades.
I love all trades, period.
I'm a hot stove guy and a transaction wire guy and all that.
I love that. I wish there was a way to get more NFL teams. Like, obviously, you can't trade quarterbacks in the middle of the season. It just doesn't work. You built the whole offense around the guy. He's got to know the signals and the calls. But, you know, running backs, some linebackers, safeties, corners, D linemen, hey, just go get the guy, stuff like that. Like, I love when an NFL trade goes down. And, look, the Browns, like, they may make something out of that fifth-round pick. You know, the Jaguars, is a fifth-round pick going to help them next year?
Bottom line is it just gave them cash, right? It got them off the books. You know what you have with Chubb. You know he's going to be your long-term solution. So you get the cash off your books. You get a draft pick in the process. But you wipe your hands clean, you move forward.
And then you flip it over to the Jaguars side of this thing. Okay, I got a nice little insurance policy.
You got nothing to lose there too, right?
I got an insurance policy. As long as Leonard's out, I can move Yeldon back to the complimentary role, perhaps.
Yep.
And, I mean, I don't want to say that, like, Carlos Hyde is a guy that can, like, swing the power in the AFC South, because I don't think he has, like, that kind of cachet. But if he's a part of Jacksonville getting going again on
we
offense.
We just talked about it. I said it for a half a segment when I said they've got to get back to balance on offense just to take some of the heat off of Bortles, and a solid running game can do that. Fournette hasn't been healthy all year long. If you could get a guy in there that
Yeldon's
can at least tote the rock
up
a little bit,
yeah,
it can help. And, again, when you're all these teams are stacked up at the top of the division, one move like this can be the difference between getting a step above everybody else or sitting there right there with everybody else, and then just you fall off at the wrong time.
And I think about this Texans team here, and I look at how, look, the first couple weeks of the season, they were running the ball really well, led the league in rushing. And since then, with the offensive line, cohesive almost, like coming together, putting
Hey,
just because they came together doesn't mean they're good.
Okay.
Right. But with the offensive line set, you know, guys playing where they want them to play, I guess is the way I would put it.
Okay.
The rushing attack has not been there. This is a team that lives in the margins and plays ugly football. And a game against the Bills when you were, like, the Bills were not, like, totally out of that thing at all, from, you know, opening whistle to the last one. They were not totally out of it.
Right.
Same thing with the Cowboys. Like, the inability to consistently rush this football, the main point about it is I think it totally torpedoes what Bill O'Brien does. I think they have to be moving on the ground, running the football for O'Brien to operate at a high level with what he likes to do on offense. And number two, it makes things so much harder because the time doesn't tick off. The defense has to play more snaps, and you put more risk on Deshaun Watson because he has to drop back and throw it 30, 35, 40 times.
Speaking of Deshaun Watson, Clarence on hold. Clarence, a friend of the show, wants to get in on Deshaun Watson. Clarence, what's up?
What up, guys?
What's going on, man?
First, talking about Deshaun Watson, anybody who's played football, whoever got injured or got a bruised rib knows how difficult it is to breathe or even move with that. And him taking shot after shot and game after game, we all know it's not going to get any better with him doing that. So how long before you think they're going to pull him and make the switch?
Clarence, I don't think they can. You can look at the bye week as a chance for him to rest up and get somewhat healthy. Look at what Green Bay's doing. They just kind of, you know, waded through and took some losses and played ugly football until they got to the bye week, hoping that it helps Rodgers' knee. I think the same thing could be said of the Texans. They're just going to try and, you know, wade through the troubled waters and hope that he stays upright enough and keeps you in ball games, because you know you can't sit him now. You're in a position you never thought you'd be in. You're tied for first place after six games when you started the season 0-3. If you sit him down, you know you have zero chance to win.
That's the tough part about what his injury is. This is not a fixed during the season injury. This is not, I know I can sit him for 3 weeks and I know he's going to feel better. Like, if it's cracked you know, if it's cracked rib and it's, you know, coming back from a partially collapsed lung, like, he'll be on the injury report. He may be healthy enough to play. He may be full participant in practice, but it's going to be pain management.
And he has said that he's healthy now. He's trying to downplay it. But here's the thing I would say, though. If it was really that serious, the Buffalo game would have been a lot worse. And I know you're saying, and rightly so, that was a tight game. But at the same time, he played, and he was able to throw, and he was able to move around a little bit. So you know he's better than option B, C, and whatever else D you decide to bring in.
Sure, sure. If they thought they could have won the game with Brandon Whedon and getting Watson a rest after that, they would have done that. But they don't think that, and that's why Watson had the play. He's healthy enough to play. I wonder if some of the failures we saw from him against Buffalo, because it was one of his worst passing games, maybe his worst passing game of the year, and that ain't just Buffalo's defense, okay?
Like, this actually adds probably credence to the fact that there's something more to it.
There's something to it. I mean, can he go to the left like he usually does really effectively? Is that something that he can still do with the chest injury? I mean, he said, and Bill O'Brien said, he felt better this week than he did at this time last week. And if the dude's a superhero and just heals up that fast, then more power to him. But this is going to be a pain management thing, in my opinion, for the whole season. He's just going to have to figure out, how much can I play with? What can I do?
It's one thing if your pain management is going up against a really bad defensive team. But when you're going up against a team like the Jacksonville Jaguars, it's not a good recipe for success. Or there's a lot of reason to have trepidation and worry for what's going to could possibly happen to him.
I agree with you. The tough part for Watson and company is everybody gets a hit on him. Everybody hits him.
You're right.
So it's not just Jacksonville. It's going to be Jacksonville this week, and then it's going to be Miami on Thursday. Joel, he got to play Jacksonville, and then he got to play 4 days later.
We got to get that because Brock Osweiler could be a big factor in that game as well.
I'm hoping and praying.
Yeah, that might help them out. All right, so we're going to continue to roll on. If you guys want to continue to talk football, we'll be here for you. KJ, a good friend of the show, wants to talk about the big three, Astros, Texans, and Trevor Ariza. Is he really one of the big three? Well, you never know. We'll find out. We'll talk to KJ, catch up with him next, as well as you if you want to join the show. 713-780-3776. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.